Is it time to overturn Citizens United? Despite the risks, should we pursue nuclear energy? And is a cat mayor of an Alaskan town? All that and more coming up next on the fourth episode of the Spectrum News Podcast. I'm Will Fox, your host. I'm joined today by Brian George, Shanna Schultz, and Joseph Fox. Is our republic for sale? In 2010, the Supreme Court gave down the Citizens United decision, which prohibited the government from restricting political expenditures by corporations and unions. The result? So-called super PACs that are anonymous groups funded by these corporations and unions, and these groups have already spent around $100 million on what are mostly negative campaign ads. Now, the pivotal question when it comes to Citizens United is, are corporations people? Should they have the same rights to speech and to spend as individuals? And then, of course, what follows, should Citizens United be overturned? Now, Joseph, the vast majority of these super PACs spending happens to be for conservative causes so far. Karl Rove's Restore Our Future super PAC has far outspent the other super PACs that exist for liberal causes and other conservative causes. So far, this Restore Our Future group has spent about $50 million. Now, you fall under what would be considered mostly conservative or very conservative. So I want to ask you first, do you think it should be overturned?
In this specific instance, I have three reasons for you guys why this case should stand. For one, the McCain-Feingold Act not only affects big, it not only keeps big corporations from being in the system, but it also affects all Americans. The original group in the bill, Citizens United, they were a nonprofit group. They're a nonprofit corporation. They weren't a billion-dollar group, but they were only trying to make a documentary against Hillary Clinton during the 2008 primary. Such speech on that level doesn't manipulate voters or hand politicians' elections, but adds to the rich political discourse that we need in a democracy. My second reason is that individuals don't lose their rights when they organize, whether it's a labor union or a corporation. If they don't have the right to speech, what other rights can the government take away from them? Can the government suspend habeas corpus and arrest members of these groups, or put corporate offices under 24-hour wiretap surveillance, or force them to house soldiers? If organizations don't have the rights the Constitution gives individuals, then what is the limit to what government can do to them? Is there a limit at all, in y'all's opinion?
Well, yes, there's a limit in which government can do to regulate with corporations, but specifically when it comes to this question of free speech, like, I know that the precedent for Citizens United to even bring this suit forward dealt with the film specifically about Hillary Clinton, into which the lower court said that this was unacceptable to show within a specific time frame towards the elections, and it was overturned, and we have what we have now. Unfortunately, regardless of free speech is what it came down to based on, like, giving out the propaganda of the film, what it's lended to is even worse, right? Like, I mean, when Citizens United's case was, like, upheld, it overturned a lesser-known case called Austin versus Michigan Chamber of Commerce, and it specifically overturned this clause that the corrosive and distorting effects of immense aggregation of wealth that are accumulated with the help of corporate form. Specifically, in this case with Austin versus the Chamber of Commerce, they predicted that this type of policy would allow the wealthy to influence the way that politics were done, and Citizens United just made that come true. So I think it made the situation even far worse than what they presented in the first place.
Brian, is our democracy for sale, or is there a necessary component of liberty here? Is it necessary to allow this to go on for the sake of freedom?
No, I think there has to be a limit, and this thing has to be overturned, because at the end of the day, you know, these corporations and these big businesses, you know, their cause and their speech is getting a bigger voice than anyone else. You know, when something comes up, when these swing states, when one candidate rises up in the polls, they spend millions of dollars on deceitful, defamatory advertising to slam these guys. And there's populations that see these who may not be as informed on the topics and, you know, take them to heart. And so at the end of the day, when these billion-dollar corporations are getting more of a voice than anyone else, that's where I have a problem.
But is there, you guys still didn't, I wasn't satisfied with that answer you guys gave me. Is there a limit? What is that middle ground you're talking about? Even with individuals, it's okay to regulate how much you spend on an election. But if you're not going to, what standard, what are you interpreting corporations as being? Why do individuals lose their rights when they organize into a group?
For the same reason that we can put limitations on certain individuals for their spending, we can put limitations on business. This is not crazy rocket science. This is simply saying that if you're going to contribute grotesque amounts of money, that we should at least know who you are, that you should be named General Electric says this about Barack Obama, and not Restore Our Future says this, or Winning Our Future, or my favorite super PAC of all is called Red, White, and Blue. Who the hell knows who funds that group? Asking them to come out from the shadows and making them at least tell us who they are when they're spending millions of dollars, it's a simple middle ground. That's it right there. You write that into court law, you write that into court opinion, and you state specifically that there can be limitations without complete and total government control.
Well, keep in mind that this group, this specific group that brought up this lawsuit, wasn't a billion-dollar corporation like Exxon. Citizens United was a much smaller nonprofit corporation. How is that documentary they came out with, Hillary the Movie? How is that buying the election for Barack Obama?
It doesn't have to be, and there's nothing wrong with groups producing content. And yeah, there's nothing necessarily wrong with groups running ads. I'm not trying to say that everyone should have an equal voice, because it's not practically possible. And in fact, in the Citizens United case, it wouldn't have been a landmark case if they had simply said, no, this group has a right to air this ad. But instead, they took the step farther in creating precedents that any group can spend any amount. So they took what was a simple question and answered with something much more far-fetched and much more far-reaching in its implications.
I don't perceive that as being a limit on discourse, right? Like the 60-day framework every 4 years doesn't limit the other 3.5, you know, other years of discourse. It's just like you can't have signs within 100 feet of a polling location. Does that 100 feet lose the ability for you to communicate with advertisement? No, it's just a simple rule requirement to help preserve the integrity of the elections. But even if that was a problem, like even if I concede that maybe you're right and that the discourse was eliminated, I think the result of what's happening not only ruins the discourse, but sways it in one way or the other, or hides it altogether. For example, 9 of the 10 most powerful super PACs in the country right now are all conservative. So where's the other where's the other discourse? Where's the independent discourse? Where's the Green Party discourse? Where's the Democratic discourse? Where's that all going? I think that at the point that you allow for money to monopolize the conversation, that you lose out completely. And Will's point makes it even more devious when you don't know where the conversation is coming from. You don't know who the information is coming from. So how can you even pinpoint whether it's true or not? It'd be like somebody broadcasting InfoWars under the guise of it being CNN. It just wouldn't make any sense.
I think this is the most important issue in our political discourse right now. There's nothing more important, because if Citizens United stands, in 10 years, we will have completely lost our democracy, because these groups will be able to simply buy an election. Let's be real. This is not just some cynical opinion. The American voter is uninformed. The American voter bases their vote off of headlines and their wallet. And there's nothing wrong necessarily with making decisions based simply on surface level observations, except that that means that the American voter can then be easily swayed. And so when groups are able to just influx massive amounts of money, the sad reality is that that works. And when it's mostly negative attack ads, that sours our discourse to an extent that I think is vastly unacceptable.
Well, Will, Shanna, I agree with you guys on the problem with politics. I disagree with the with y'all's solution to it. I think the answer for poor speech is more speech. So the biggest problem with our election system is that only 56% of people bothered to show up in the last election. And out of those, how many of those bothered enough to follow the complex issues?
A very low percentage.
A very low percentage. And what's the solution to that? It's not what regulating the speech isn't going to help with that at all. Sure, you're limiting these attack ads that these third party groups do, but the media is still. I mean, where most of let's face it, most of the conversation, what they talk about in an election cycle, is drivel.
What about accountability, Joseph? Like, forget money for a second. What just about disclosure? Like, should these groups be able to just anonymously fund third parties, or should they have to do it themselves?
I think they should. I'm for openness. I would be for these groups having to mandatorily, show where the money's going. I would be fine with that. But to me, the answer to drivel isn't the government deciding what is and what isn't drivel. It's for all of us to get off of our butts and participate in the democracy we've been given. Until we do that, no matter what reform we put up, no matter how we interpret corporations are, our election process is going to continue to suffer.
That does it for our talk on Citizens United. Stay tuned for a discussion about nuclear energy. And later, we'll advocate for the candidate in the 2012 election we're least likely to vote for. Last week, there were large protests in Tokyo over the restart of two nuclear power plants in Japan. This in the aftermath of the Fukushima disaster after the tsunami of last year. This brings up a big question that broadens to the United States. Is nuclear energy a viable way forward for our energy solutions, or is the risk too great? And so, Shannon, I want to ask you, 1 pound of nuclear fuel is equivalent to 3 million pounds of coal and 1 million pounds of gasoline. Is the risk not worth it?
There's four really good reasons, but I'll give you the top two that I think matter. The first one is nuclear waste, right? And you say that it's that you could get rid of it, that perhaps it's not as dangerous as what we all think. But the real reality is that 20 to 30 tons of radioactive waste comes annually with each reactor. And that waste will always remain radioactive and dangerous for thousands of years. It will never go away. Even when burying the waste, it can contaminate groundwater and destroy ecosystems. There's no good way to contain it anyways. Even the ones that we have buried now in Cheyenne are still contaminating the environment. Second reason is that it's not environmentally friendly like we think it is how it's mined. Now, it's true that uranium is very plentiful. I think it accounts for 20% of the Earth's crust, and you can find it in hundreds of different countries of all over the world. However, it has ugly environmental impacts as well. It pollutes the water and generally creates ugly caverns that foster sinkholes, which prohibit things like natural growth, urban development, and etc. But most importantly, it contains radium, which is highly radioactive. Radon gas harms workers and locals with lung cancer, bone cancer, and lymphoma. Even if you pay miners a lot of money, I don't think it's a good system to say, just because we're paying you, we want you to go down into this toxic environment and get ill. Take that on top of the fact that it creates sinkholes in other parts of the world. It's not as very environmentally friendly as just not leaving carbon.
Brian, this is a country that put a man on the moon. Can't we put nuclear waste on the sun? That was a joke, by the way.
Well, here's the thing. 20 tons of nuclear waste roughly takes up the size of about a small bed of a truck. So it's not like this 20 tons of nuclear waste from a nuclear reactor ran for an entire year produces the amount of space waste in a small truck bed. So yes, you know, we don't know really what to do with it. We don't know exactly. It can be stored. And I think with nuclear energy, this is not a technology that needs developing. It's ready to go right now. We're already using it. Is it something that we can use for the future to rely on, you know, till the end of time? Absolutely not. But I think it'd be great to shift more towards nuclear energy and use this as a way to kind of, like Shanna said, kind of ease the gap between more green and renewable resources.
Joseph, Shanna brings up the point of pollution. Is there a solution to this? I mean, no one in their right mind would argue that if the ground is being polluted by nuclear waste that we should continue. And we definitely have seen that there are environmental and real human costs when nuclear energy goes wrong.
Well, we did have a good place to store nuclear waste in Yucca Mountain until it was shut down recently. And most there is a big problem with that, because even if we do find a suitable location to store nuclear waste, you know, it's not a guarantee that the people there will want that nuclear waste in their backyard.
Guantanamo Bay is the answer.
Send it to Guantanamo Bay.
In Guantanamo Bay.
Okay. Where their swimming pool with it.
But still, given the environmental impacts are much... I think you would have to concede that the environmental impacts are much less than coal. And it's nuclear power, if it's about as much CO2 emissions as renewable energy like wind or solar. One other problem with it, though, it might not be suitable for certain areas, particularly areas along the Ring of Fire that are prone to earthquakes, like what we saw. But every single power source, not all power sources are suitable for areas. It shouldn't be a reason, in my opinion, for why we shouldn't continue using nuclear power.
In my opinion, nuclear energy has its risks, but it is so efficient and it is so promising, and we are so in need of an alternative to natural gas and oil that I don't think that there's an option but to pursue it. And that being said, strict regulation, strict safety codes, and government investment in safety for nuclear power is absolutely necessary. Now, there are success stories out there. France, I know Joseph's a huge Francophile. France gets 75% of its energy from nuclear power. And so there are success stories out there. And so future investment in safety is absolutely necessary. And one promising lead that I was able to read a little bit about was that as an alternative to uranium, some scientists are looking to a compound called thorium as an alternative, which is apparently much, much safer and creates little to zero emissions or waste.
You bring up a good point about safety, because while the benefits are fantastic, at least on paper and at least about what we can see and what we can see in other countries, the catastrophe that can happen will neutralize those benefits within a second. So if the worst happens, all those benefits will go down the toilet. So, for example, here in the United States, we have 23 nuclear reactors on seismic fault lines, right? Like, that's no good, right? So when we're talking about regulation, they need to not be on fault lines, right? Because the odds of a reactor being damaged by United States elements like weather, earthquakes, tornadoes are 10 times better than winning the lottery, which is kind of a lot. The riskiest place right now in the United States, there's a reactor on a seismic fault line 35 miles from New York City, the largest city in America. So if anything happens to it, it will neutralize one of the largest places in the U.S., and the devastation will be great. And we'll all be wondering what kind of risk we took for the sake of energy.
Well, I would agree. I would concede that point to you, Shanna, that we shouldn't build nuclear power plants on seismic fault lines. Is worth noting that it is worth noting that we have a very good record of safety with nuclear power plants in the United States. The very worst incident that's happened on the United States soil with nuclear power was Three Mile Island, which was blown way out of proportion. So I think we do a much better job. We have in the past done a much better job of safely maintaining our nuclear power plants.
I would agree with you that keeping hand grenades as a hobby is risky. But up next is our new segment called Role Reversal, in which we'll take the position we wouldn't normally take. Also, later on, did the discovery of the Higgs boson particle disprove God? it's time for role reversal, where we will take the position that we wouldn't normally agree with. And today we're going to be talking about presidential candidates. And so those of us who would be voting for Barack Obama will be advocating for Mitt Romney. Those of us who would have been voting for Mitt Romney will be advocating for Barack Obama. And Brian will be advocating for Muhammad Ali.
Woo!
Well, actually, I don't know what Brian's going to be doing. But I think that I would like to go first because I am definitely excited to share with you guys the reasons why I will be voting for Mittens von Romneyton the Fourth. I mean, I'm sorry, Governor Mitt Romney. Okay. So listen here. Barack Obama in 2008 said that if the economy is not going strongly by the end of his first term, that we would be in for a four-year proposition. And so I think it is high time that we cash in and make Barack Obama a one-term president. And look, we have a viable alternative. We have a family man with a loyal wife and a huge, beautiful family. And unlike our current president, Mitt Romney has not partaken in drugs. He doesn't go off and do crazy things in his youth. He was a straightforward businessman. He has three degrees from Harvard. And he's got a solid conservative record. He vetoed over 800 different propositions from the Democratic Congress or the Democratic legislature when he was in Massachusetts. And while he has a very successful business record in the private sector, he knows how to create jobs. He also has done his fair share of public service. For example, he saved the Olympics. And furthermore, he saved the Olympics. And then after that, he saved the Olympics. And so I think that it is time, high time, to return our country to its guiding principles and to find a way forward. And that way is by restoring our faith in America through Governor Mitt Romney.
Woo!
Woo-woo.
Word.
That was way longer than I was going
to be. Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Who wants to go
next? I'll go next.
Oh, yeah.
Brian.
So, this year, I will undoubtedly be casting my vote for Governor Mitt Romney. As we all know, Mitt Romney is a man of faith, a man who sticks by his beliefs, and these stay near and dear to his heart. Mitt Romney, a man with an eye for business and a heart for reliability. Voting for Mitt Romney is voting for consistency. That's all I got.
Well, mine's not nearly as sarcastic. I think you guys got me.
Hey, mine's not sarcastic. I just took Mitt Romney talking points.
What were those three examples you gave for the for his exemplary public service?
Olympics, and Olympics.
about being a governor.
Well, he doesn't want to talk about his record in Massachusetts because of Obamacare. He doesn't want to talk about Bain because they say he's a felon. So he talks about the Olympics.
Okay. Also, Romney also has nothing to hide whatsoever, including business records.
Sorry, go. Joseph, I'm going to feel so bad if you're like, and so I've actually legitimately changed my mind. Barack Obama. I've convinced myself.
Okay. Well, yeah, we gave everybody. Nah, okay. Well, my number one reason, why pick the lesser of two evils? Anyway, I came up one reason why liberals should vote for Obama. It's really a no-brainer. And then one why conservatives should consider Obama. So here's my liberal reason. It really is a no-brainer. He's the best chance they have for furthering a lot of liberal causes, such as universal health care, increased regulation of the economy, taxes on the wealthy, LGBT rights, cuts to defense spending, etc. You may be dissatisfied with his more centrist take on these issues, but he's likely to govern more to the left if given another term and continue to push the nation in a progressive direction. Conservatives should consider Obama just for the for one reason. The Republican Party may need more time in the wilderness before they take the White House again. The party is in a period of transition where we have a candidate out there out of touch with the direction with the party, no matter how hard he may try to appear otherwise. And it may be more beneficial to wait for 2016 for a stronger crop of candidates. 4 more years of Obama may be necessary to save the soul of the party and ultimately the country itself.
Not bad, Joe. I thought you said it was going to be a little sarcastic, though. I heard some sarcasm in there.
Okay, that okay. So, the beginning wasn't the sarcastic.
If liberals will love Barack Obama because he spends a lot and taxes the rich. No, I'm sorry. We're so bad at this, you guys. Joseph, yours is the best so far. The most sincere.
Also, he's the only chance we have at hoodies in the White House. and bringing back JNCO jeans.
Oh.
First president to have ludicrous on his iPod since Jimmy Carter.
Okay. So first of all, Mitt Romney is really great at keeping secrets, and that is what we need in a president. A man that can keep all of the United States executive secrets away from the terrorists. For example, Mitt Romney will not release his tax returns, and his wife Anne has said to the public, we have given you people everything you need to know. And I think that's a great stance. There's brinks in the amount of information we give to the public. Look, if we just tell Al-Qaeda cells that we don't want to give them any more information, I feel confident that our efforts in the Middle East will improve. And I think Mitt Romney can do this. But furthermore, when looking at his domestic policy, for trade, candidate Romney really supports free trade and opening our markets beyond the American border, except for China, because he believes that China's economic success is due largely in part to the United States, unlike small businesses in the United States. He furthermore thinks that China should have better legal protections for trade, sanctions and tariffs. So for free trade, Mitt Romney really only believes in the Western Hemisphere, and we all know that only good things come from the Western Hemisphere. So I think that this prosperity for the Western Hemisphere is good. So he's a good secret keeper. He's got a good policy on how we should do trade, and I think he'll be a great candidate for the 2012 election.
Dear God. All of us are such assholes. All right, well, Joseph, you win.
Yeah, you win. Well, it's true. This is the bad part. Like, I'm legitimately looking at his website, like, at his legitimate thoughts on things, and he's like, I believe in free trade. And then two blocks down, it's like, I don't want to trade with China.
Coming up next, a discussion about foreign policy in sub-Saharan Africa.
On June 14th, the White House ushered a new plan for African countries that have several planks, but most considerably is their renewed commitment to strengthen democratic institutions in sub-Saharan Africa. Post-colonization in Africa is harsh and an ugly reality. Over the past 40 years, there has been war, genocide, infanticide, racism, sexism, destruction, disease, and death. For the Congo specifically, they have faced over two decades of crisis. They have a dysfunctional government with spineless leaders, divided visions, and the 2011 elections were a sham. They are surrounded by predatory neighbors in Rwanda, Uganda, and Angola that proliferate arms into anarchist groups. To narrow this down, we're going to talk about democratic institutions in Congo and other sub-Saharan countries. Here's the fact. Donors, including the United States, channel half of the Congo's national budget, and other African countries have this similar kind of plan. Joe, should we use our dollars to influence leadership and have a more impact on the development of some of these countries?
I think what our approach for Africa should be, one, establishing trade relations with African countries, since this ensures the spread of American ideals. And then two, providing humanitarian aid to African countries, which Bush did this a lot during his presidency, and this actually fostered a lot of really good, support in African countries for America. But we should also be willing to intervene in instances where genocide occurs resulting from conflicts, as in Rwanda. We should also be try to help broker peace in areas, especially like the Congo, where they've had an ongoing civil war that's claimed millions of lives. And I would also supporting democratic institutions.
Well, let me throw this over to Will for a second. One of the issues that we see in some of the Middle Eastern countries, the huge amount of support that Western countries, especially the United States, has in supporting Syria's movement to overthrow Bashar al-Assad. We've seen this movement in Egypt as well as Tunisia. We have a precedent of saying, hey, bad leaders, get out of office and let democratic principles erupt from the grassroots. Why hasn't the United States taken this position opposition in places like the Congo or places like Zimbabwe, where their leader, Robert Mugabe, has had on record instances of awful human rights violations from anything from whipping in the street to throwing people in wood chippers. Why doesn't the United States do anything about that?
I think it's really important to note that China is the largest trade partner of the Congo. About 48% of the Congo's exports go to China. About 17% of their imports are from China. This is compared to about 9% of their imports being from the United States. So if we think we can influence those in the Congo with our economic efforts, then we have to accept on the flip side that China is going to have just as much of an effort and just as much of an impact on the regime.
Well, I think it's important to note that with those figures about imports and exports, what they don't cover is the amount of relief aid that comes from the United States. So while these countries are fundamentally working trade partnerships with China, the United States still remains the number one donor to the Congo for things like humanitarian relief, food, water, medicine, and those types of things. With the influence of the United States in places like the Middle East and the amount of diplomatic relations we've had both in hard power and soft power, there's been a growing trend in far-right movements and libertarian movements that say the United States just shouldn't be involved at this at all. So my question for anyone who would like to respond is, can Africa be such a great ally? Can African countries be such a great ally to the United States that it warrants our involvement, whether it is soft or hard power?
I guess being the more right-leaning one in the group, I guess this is on one issue that I guess I'm a little bit more neoconservative on. I think it's in our best interest to establish good relations with these countries. I think the benefits from doing so outweigh the costs. And we don't have to. Aid to Africa isn't what's bankrupting the United States government. I am in favor of withdrawing, specifically withdrawing bases from certain areas like South Korea, where I don't think we need them anymore. We can save a lot of money from that. But I think we can do a lot to help Africa through the government and individually, and we should. I think we have a moral responsibility to.
I think there was a good point brought up by one of the panelists that says that people just aren't concerned with Africa anymore because it's so prominent that there's always violence and there's always heartache. And I think that's disheartening for that of the United States people when we say that a place isn't interesting anymore because there's too much pain and there's too much suffering. The fact remains that Africa is one of the richest continents in the entire world, with resources, diversity, and differing kinds of like opinions and ideals and traditions, and that it would be in the United States' best interest to help stabilize these countries and make them valuable trade partners in the future.
Coming up next is Yay or Nay, and then of course, lastly, our Assholes of the Week. Let's move on to Yay or Nay, our segment with quick questions and quick answers. First, Portugal decriminalized drugs back in 2001, and now, today in 2012, the country sees lower usages of drugs such as marijuana and heroin, and a lower HIV infection rate, which was a bad epidemic during the times of high drug use because of shared needles. So the question to the group is it time for the United States to decriminalize drugs like Portugal? Joseph says,
yay. Actually, I would go far, and this is the more libertarian version of me, I would say we should go as far as legalizing certain drugs such as marijuana.
Shanna, is it time to decriminalize drugs in the United States?
Nay. Cartoon Network is weird enough without letting all of its creative department get blazed before they draw.
I think that already happened.
I think that's already happened.
Watch Adventure Time.
I was about to say, man.
They're doing something more hardcore than getting blazed to make Adventure Time. Brian, is it time to decriminalize drugs in the United States?
Yay! The argument that decriminalizing drugs will make drug use run rampant around the country just doesn't stand up, and it's shown. So, yay.
And I say nay, it's not time to decriminalize drugs, because In this election, it's all about jobs in the economy, and spending grotesque amounts of money on unenforceable laws creates jobs in the DEA and the prison system. So a vote to decriminalize drugs is a vote against economic prosperity.
That was very Keynesian of you, Will.
Thank you. Okay, everyone, scientists recently confirmed the existence of a Higgs boson particle. Yes, your guess is correct. Higgs boson, or Higgs boson, is a classic rock band with such hits as Split My Atoms, You Make My Particles Spin, and H2 Oh My God. But some claim that the Higgs boson particle disproves the existence of God. Brian, is this so?
No. Nay. As long as your beliefs are based in blind faith, there will always be a cop-out.
I say both yay and nay. I texted Mitt Romney about this, and he sent me back that it does disprove God, but, you know, 5 minutes later he said no, it doesn't disprove God. So I decided I'd just follow along with him. Shanna, does this disprove God?
Hey, to borrow a quote from Ridley Scott's film Prometheus, this doesn't disprove anything. After all, who created that?
Joseph.
Nay, but it does prove that otherwise intelligent scientists like to think they are authorities on subjects they know nothing about.
Burn.
Nice reference there, Shane. Okay.
That was a good movie.
Mitt Romney recently released his 1 year of tax returns. In contrast, George Romney, his father, released 12 years of tax returns when he was running for president during the Stone Age. And the question is, should Mitt Romney, like many of his predecessors, release more of his tax returns? Shanna, you say...
Yay. Look, this is how we quantify worth. The more you're worth, the more worthless you are to us.
Spoken like a true hippie.
Brian, yay or nay?
Yay. The people have a right to transparency with regards to who is going to be running their country. I think we have a right to know every mole on Mitt Romney's ass.
Well, that was disturbing. Yeah. Joseph, yay or nay?
Yeah, so we
should Mitt Romney... No, it's cool. Joseph, yay or nay, should Mitt Romney release more of his tax returns?
Yay, so we can all get on with our lives.
And I say yay, and that's because he must be hiding something. Maybe he... maybe he claimed a deduction for extravagant haircuts or fake tans.
I'm just waiting for the conspiracy theory that his tax returns didn't exist, like the birth certificate. We're the unabridged tax returns, Romney? Huh?
I like all the Romney hate. I like all the Romney hating this podcast. It seems like it's this is the most done.
Nobody likes Mitt Romney. Even the people who like Mitt Romney, they're like, oh, I mean, I like him.
I mean, I'm going to vote for the guy, but that doesn't mean I like him. Come on. I don't agree
with
anything
he
says.
He's kind of like the John Kerry of the Republican Party.
He's kind of like the Jim Kerry of the Republican Party.
I like Jim Kerry.
When he gets serious.
The Ben Stiller?
Oh, God.
We're just throwing out names of random celebrities now.
Nicolas Cage.
Rebecca Black.
Nicolas Cage won't exclude me from going to see a movie, but it definitely will sour the film.
Touche.
Over 13,000 people attended the Comic-Con convention in San Diego. Now, a lot of people like to give nerds a hard time, but do nerds really rule the world? Yay or nay, Joseph?
Yay, look at the two people running for office right now. Both clearly look like nerds.
Definitely. I think Mitt Romney pulled his pants up any higher, he would look like that one guy from Revenge of the Nerds.
I feel like giving both of them a wedgie and then dunking their heads in a toilet.
I feel like that's a hate crime, Jesse.
Not against nerds. Nobody cares about nerds.
I say yay. Both Barry Obama and Mitt Romney are known to play WoW, and we know that Vladimir Putin plays Halo under the screen name Putting on the Pain.
I'm tired of putting up with your puns, Will.
Putting on the Pain. Shanna, yay or nay, do nerds rule the world?
Yay. Little known fact, each member of Spectrum News owns 25% of the world's worth.
Yay.
We are the 1%.
We are the 25%.
Just all four of us. We're the...
Brian, do nerds rule the world? Yay or nay?
Yay. All those kids you were shooting spitballs into their butt crack are now the current CEOs funding the Romney super PACs.
Yeah, we are going after Romney in this podcast. He's been brought up in 4 of the 5 yay or nay segments. I love it.
I hope he hears it.
Will.
He's searching on iTunes.
Will,
like,
you gotta tweet it to him.
News.
Yeah, tweet this to Romney.
Hey, check out this podcast. We talk really highly of
you. Listen to the part where we pitch for your campaign.
Not recently, for 15 years, Mayor Stubbs has been very dedicated in serving the Talkeetna, Alaskan population, a town of 900. Like I said, Mayor Stubbs has been mayor for 15 years. But what some didn't know until recently was that Mr. Stubbs was indeed a cat. And so our question today is Mayor Stubbs the best mayor possible? Of course, I say yes. On tax day, the only thing that people had to provide were 3 cans of Fancy Feast. And he also just meows at people's doors and scratches on it instead of sending the IRS. The only downside is that sometimes during debates he sticks his ass in the faces of competitors expecting to be paid. Shanna, yay or nay, best mayor ever?
Yay, Mr. Stubbs is the best mayor since the mayor of Monopoly. Plus, he only drinks water with catnip in it, and that, my friends, is stunting.
And that's only legal in Portugal. Hey, Brian, is Mayor Stubbs the best mayor ever?
Yay. It's a lot easier to clean feces out of a predetermined box than all over the city.
That's true. And the good thing is, if you ever try to assassinate Mayor Stubbs, he's got 9 lives.
Zing!
Joseph, yay or nay, best mayor ever?
I would have to say yay, because he's the most laissez-faire. I mean... but also, he does lose some points, because I'm allergic to cats. But,
It's only fair. It's only fair. Well, That's racist.
I want cats in the White House. I want cats in the Congress. I want cats in the, like, DMV.
I mean, isn't that the ultimate statement of the people of this town? Like, we don't need government. We're going to elect a cat.
Pretty much. They didn't. And, like, the thing is that he keeps winning. Like, people run against him.
He keeps winning. <That's>, I lost the cat.
I wonder what percentage of the vote he gets, and how embarrassing would that be to, like, lose
what
to
you,
a
what
cat?
You don't
I can imagine,
know.
Like, I can imagine special interests getting together. We're going to overthrow Mayor Stubbs.
The Meow Mix Super PAC.
What you don't know is that he used to be a human, but a failed science experiment gone awry on an oil rig.
Like,
now he's a Seth MacFarlane cartoon.
Oh, God. Mayor Stubbs is Jeff Goldblum. Okay. Our last segment today, of course, is our Assholes of the Week. Everybody, it's time for Assholes of the Week, our weekly bashing of people who should be lambasted for terrible behavior, or, alternatively, a Vindicator of the Week, someone who should be praised for their excellent behavior. At the end of the segment, we'll vote and officially deem our Vindicator an Asshole of the Week. Who would like to go first?
I got a Vindicator that I'll throw out first.
For sure.
What?
Well, Sunday, July 22nd, the Jim Henson Company, or more notably, owner of the Muppets franchise, have dumped their partnership with Chick-fil-A, citing that the company has embraced diversity and inclusiveness for over 50 years, and Chick-fil-A does not fit into that model with their gay-hating selves, chicken sandwich lovers.
And just to give a little context here, it's been revealed that Chick-fil-A donates a lot to anti-gay rights groups. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
No, they actually just dumped him because they put too many pickles on the guy's number one.
Yeah, not enough diversity there. Who would like to go next? I can go next, actually. My asshole of the week is, I guess I'll call him Smokey. And Smokey was observed running through a mall, which, of course, not only are the rules in malls strict about, you know, whether you walk or run places, considering the kind of traffic you get in there, but it's also really important to note that there's a strict ban, at least in most American malls, on bears. And Smokey is indeed a very large bear that was seen at a Sears department store in a mall in Pennsylvania. Observers said that it was running up and down the aisles and darted past several people who said, quote, that they didn't even know it was a bear. Which prompts me to ask, if a bear runs past you, how the hell can you not know it's a bear? What was that? Was that a shopping cart? Was that, was that a toddler in a stroller? Was that a giant 1,200-pound bear?
Man, there's a...
So, Smokey is my my nominee for asshole of the week for scaring the poor people.
That mall security is probably embarrassed over that situation.
Just, how did this get past you? You had one job.
Oh man, if I was that mall security, I'd be like, bye. I'm clocking out. I gotta go to lunch.
They were probably searching through someone's ashes.
Yeah, they were barely involved.
Oh, jeez.
Oh man, that was a pretty grisly pun. I don't approve. Okay, Joseph, Shanna?
My asshole of the week is Rush Limbaugh, who insinuated recently last week because that the release date for the new Batman movie coincides with the election year. In his words, do you know the name of the villain in this movie? Bane. The villain in The Dark Knight Rises is named Bane. B-A-N-E. What is the name of the venture capital firm that Romney ran and around which there's now this make-believe controversy? Bane. The movie has been in the works for a long time. The release date's been known. Summer 2012 for a long time. Do you think that it's accidental? That the name is really vicious, fire-breathing, four-eyed, whatever it is, villain in this movie is named Bane? Well, I think he deserves this this title because he obviously hasn't seen the movie since Bane's out. For one, he hasn't seen the movie. Obviously, since Bane is he's existed longer than Mitt Romney's been around. and two, the character Bane, it's also kind of ironic because the character Bane is actually a little bit of a left-wing revolutionary in the movie. So that just kind of shows that he's making this really bad judgment about this movie, even though he hasn't gone out and seen it yet.
Joseph, did you know that the new Superman movie, the enemy is the big like villain is his name is Jeremiah Wright. And
does he spew anti-American hatred at Superman?
No, he's a Minuteman on the border. He's actually pretty right wing. It's weird.
What a twist.
Shanna, you said you had a vindicator, right?
Yes, my vindicator of the week is the FDA and big pharmaceutical company, aka Truvada. They are my vindicator of the week. Last week, the Food and Drug Administration approved Truvada's drug as an HIV prevention tool for healthy persons who are at risk of contracting HIV, such as people who have HIV-positive spouses. Furthermore, if everything is successful in the United States, it can be used by the WHO for countries that are battling HIV epidemics. Because the FDA and Big Pharmaceutical are at least pushing for progressive preventative medicine that can help American families live longer and save the lives of countless others, they are my vindicator of the week.
Aw, way to get all serious.
Sorry, but it's so awesome!
Okay, well, we have two nominees for Vindicator of the Week. I guess Shanna and Brian, you're forced to vote for each other. So that leaves Joseph and I to decide who gets to be the Vindicator of the Week. Joseph, I guess if we both choose different ones, it's a stalemate.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm leaning towards the pharmaceuticals over the Chick-fil-A bashers. What do you think?
Oh, that's actually what I was going to go for, too. So,
here you guys.
All right.
So it's not a tie.
What's the specific
have
company,
Shanna? Have you seen Muppets Go to Space?
That is such a good movie.
Come on now.
There's a talking Muppets sandwich.
Muppets Christmas Carol is the best one, though.
What about Treasure Island?
Yeah. Have you seen Animal Christmas play Carol. Drums? That dude beats down anti-gay rights.
So our Vindicator of the Week is Vitra?
Truvada.
Truvada.
Sounds like some sort of Truvada. Diet pill or something.
And the FDA.
And the F and the, oh yes, the FDA, of course, my favorite organization. Oh man. Okay, so now it's down to voting on the asshole of the week, and I'm gonna decide. Joseph's put out some good ones the past few weeks and just hasn't gotten there, so I definitely am gonna go with Rush Limbaugh this time around. So that leaves it to Shanna and Brian.
I'm actually gonna side with Joseph on this one, because, like, leave my comic books alone. Not everything has to have political implications. It bothers me greatly.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Brian, that leaves you with a pretty intense decision. You've kind of been in hibernation over there, so I wanted to see what your opinion was. Do we choose the bear, or do we choose Rush Limbaugh, which basically is just a grizzly bear that's been shaved of all his
hair?
Gross.
As much as I don't want Joe to get any sort of victory out of this, and I'm gonna have to vote for Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh. Screw that guy.
That's his name for adult movies.
Rush
not a...
Rimbaugh.
Oh God. Okay, so our asshole of the week is none other than Rush Limbaugh. It's long overdue.
Also, I noticed you threw that pun in there, hibernating. I didn't go unnoticed. Asshole.
Good to know. I guess that's it. All right, well, thanks everyone for listening to our latest episode of the Spectrum News Podcast. Tune in next week for more diverse debate and discussion.